Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramosferum. I was going to introduce Kudiman, but I think it'd be more fun to let him speak for himself.
My name is
Kudiman.
And
I just released my second
YouTube
album.
It's called,
Through.
You.
This album is
made out of
unrelated
YouTube
videos
of different people from
different
places
playing
and
singing.
You
flying.
I'm basically just
editing it and cutting it together, and
I don't know, it's just really cool. So I feel like I made a whole bunch of new friends, even though I
don't really know you.
Kudiman's real name is Ophir Kutiel. He spoke to me on Skype from his place in Tel Aviv. It's the same place he was living in back in 2009 when he was a part-time musician and a part-time video editor. But really, back then, he lived on YouTube.
5 years ago, YouTube was not so creative. It was a lot of, you know, funny cats and people falling on their head.
Like a lot of us, he was using YouTube to figure out how to do stuff.
To cook stuff and to fix my car and many things I learned from YouTube.
Then one day, he stumbled upon this drum tutorial that changed everything.
It was a drummer, Bernard Purdy.
Bernard Purdy has played drums for everyone from Dizzy Gillespie to Hall & Oates.
Apparently, he's like the most amazing ever drummer in the world, and I didn't know.
Hi-hat!
And I really felt the need to record like bass and keyboard and other instruments on top of the video and just have him drum and talk and the rest I play.
Ooh, I like that.
That would have been cool maybe, but that's not what Kudiman did.
He could play that 16th note groove.
He kept searching.
I found this guy playing bass.
Okay.
He kept layering.
And then I guess I searched for a guitar and I found the guitar player. He's got also plenty of really great tutorials.
We need more than one guitar part. There'll
okay.
be somebody playing single notes, somebody playing chords, and they'll mix them together.
Okay. And let's just pick the mother of all funk chords. Let's pick a ninth chord.
And just from there on, I can't even remember.
Kudiman sat at his computer and mixed YouTube musicians together for 2 months straight. He did all the work on video editing software, so it wasn't just fun, mashed up music. He was mixing together all the video, too. He ended up with an entire album's worth of music. One was a reggae song, one had rapping, one was sort of trancey. He called the collection Through You, a play on YouTube where he found every last one of his sounds. When he uploaded them in 2009, the videos got millions of views and the traffic crashed the site he set up to promote it.
Oh, yes.
I was amazed that I found this gold mine that everybody knows, but nobody seems to like figure it out, that it's just a bank of samples.
Through You ended up getting a ton of attention. Kudiman was in magazines, on blogs, and doing a bunch of radio interviews. Now, 5 years later, he's just released a second collection. It's called Through You 2.
This song is called, I don't know, maybe it'll be called Give It Up, because that's like the chorus. Okay, so y'all ready?
Through You 2 isn't getting nearly as much press, maybe because the novelty's worn off some. But the songs on the album prove that Kudiman is a real deal music producer. The first time around, he hardly touched the samples. This time, he's manipulating them even less. But the samples are better, and so are the songs. And his fans are still coming out to watch and listen over and over again.
I knew I have like few followers, you know, that really look forward to see what I'm doing, but I really didn't expect it to blow up like this again.
Make time, making love on the shore end.
So I'm guessing to a lot of like your fans, it was just great to have more music from Kudiman. But what was different to you about making this type of art the second time around?
I guess it took me so long just to get back to the point where I'm doing it from an honest place with myself, that I really want to do it and not for the views and not for the fame and really being creative. And it was different. I was trying really to create music, you know, create music that I want to create, and not like the first one was more about the concept, and I tried to go different genres, you know, one is reggae, one is rock, and one is funk, you know. And this time I really felt like creating this album of ballads, of singers, trying to even make people forget that it's coming from YouTube, you know. The fact that it's from YouTube, it's just like a bonus for me, that you can actually see the people and see the instruments.
So you're trying to not create so much like a mashup, but more a great song. And so how does that change the way you're looking for music?
I tried more to find pieces, like bigger chunks from people, not like find, okay, this guy play conga, I'm just going to take one note and duplicate it and manipulate it, but to try to find bigger chunks that fit together. And it was more challenging.
So how many bad videos do you have to watch and listen to before you can find videos that are this good?
A lot of not necessarily bad, you know. Sometimes it's really great videos, but they just don't fit. But I watch a lot of funny and interesting, and it makes me wonder a lot of the time, you know, why people, you know, record themselves playing guitar and putting up on YouTube. And sometimes I look for a guitar and eventually I find myself 5 a.m. watching, I don't know, trucks, you know, just something completely different, you know. This is, you have to stay focused because you search for something and then on the side you see, you know,
related content, man. Yeah.
And then you press something and soon enough you find yourself just watching, I don't know, win and fail compilation for 2 hours.
How about you? Have you ever uploaded a video of just talking or just playing guitar or playing bass?
I don't feel the urge to do it, you know, like, I think it's amazing that people do it and I learned so much from it. But, no, I'd rather take the guitar to the studio and record something and create like a song or something from it.
Yeah. How much does the visual matter to you? I know as a musician, you're most interested in the sounds you're hearing, but have you turned a lot of video, sounds down because the video wasn't quite what you needed?
Yes, sometimes I found like samples or videos that match musically, but something in the frame wasn't right, or it was too dark, or sometimes it even has the personal element in it. You know, sometimes like I find someone that plays perfectly, but something he said at the beginning or the end makes me, you know, I don't like this guy because what he said, or, and I have to let it down. And,
oh, interesting. So if you see a video and you have a clip that you really like, but then you watch the rest of the video and the guy seems like a dick, you will not use the video.
Yeah. Like I can't help it. You know, sometimes I'm really fighting with myself. Nobody knows, but I really, it's got like this personal thing in it. It's not just samples, you know, you search for samples, but eventually it's people.
Huh.
And sometimes I have the other way around, you know. Sometimes I see, like in the first Through You, I did this jungle video and I watched like amazing drummers play jungle. And then I ran into this kid that is not like the best drummer in the world, but he took the time to upload a video and explain other people how to play this jungle groove and really trying to explain. And I say, wow, this guy is really amazing. And I'm going to do my best to make him sound like the best drummer in the world.
Nice. This time you really feel like you're like the connection with these people so much more through the songs and also through the video. And you feel it no more than on the song Change. I'm going to play some of that. All right.
Alright.
Something to believe in. Something to believe in. And maybe, maybe a little change. Something to believe in. Something.
Do you ever feel like you're creating a story between these strangers? It feels that way watching Change, that the singer and the ukulele player and the string players maybe have some sort of relationship.
Yeah, I also sometimes feel like there's the story between them, and sometimes I feel that I know them, you know, I watch them for so many hours working with them.
Can we talk about money for a second?
Sure. I don't have any.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you make any from doing this, but I don't think you do you? You give it all away for free.
Yeah, no, there's no money involved in it.
So you did it the first time, no money. The second time, where you're like, I want to do that again.
Yeah, but it's really not for the money. It's really, I can't really help it, you know. I'm really enjoying it, and That's the purpose of life, you know, doing what you love and people love what you do. And I earn my money, you know, producing here and playing and performing. And
obviously doing this and giving it away for free opens up other doors. You made a Maroon 5 music video. You worked with PBS Digital Studios and did something called Through Tokyo.
Yeah, Through Tokyo is one video from a series that at the moment it's called Through the City, and I travel to different cities and film different musicians in different locations, showing the city through the musicians.
Konnichiwa.
And do paying gigs like this one make enough for you to survive and, you know, feed yourself?
Yeah, you know, I don't need too much.
You also did a live show with the Guggenheim. Did you want to do more things like that? More touring maybe even, and collaborating with live musicians while you do your sampling thing?
I'm not a big fan of technology in live performance. I'm saying it for myself. Like, I love seeing other shows that combine video and stuff like this, but prefer the old fashioned, you know, live instruments, microphones, and just playing music. I don't like to perform with a computer or anything like that.
Yeah. So since you do both of these things, you do the real live band thing and you do the YouTube collaborative thing, do you feel like it's harder to be taken seriously as a musician when your instruments are YouTube videos, even though you've had all this attention? I mean, you don't see Through YouTube being reviewed on the big music blogs. Does that bother you in any way?
I don't know. I hope the music community will really listen and see that there's actually music behind the gimmick. But I guess everything takes time, you know. I'm really happy with all the feedback I get, and I'm just gonna create more. And
you still do play in bands, right?
Yeah, I have my own band. It's called the Kutiman Orchestra, and I used to play in the local scene for many bands until I had enough of it.
Why did you have enough of playing, you know, what some would call actual music with actual people?
I guess the people.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow. I'd say about 33% of the Kutiman experience is watching his videos. You can do that at pri.org/soundworks. Thanks to Kathy Merritt at PRI, thanks to David Krasnow and Jenny Lawton who sit by the windows, and thanks to Big Boss Scott Ross for helping me sift through all that is Kutiman.
Sideshow is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
A dude named Dan emailed us to inquire about Sideshow's theme music. Thanks so much for asking, Dan. The song's called Yay, and it's by Zamuto. Zamuto just put out an album called Anchor. There was a self-titled one that preceded it, and Zamuto is great.
Soundworks.
Soundworks
from PRI.
Oh!